you know, some things that people need to be careful of about this election. And if you listen to what Donald Trump and the Republicans are saying, they're telling you what they're going to do. They can effectively stage a coup and steal the election legally without even trying very hard. If you notice when they talk, Donald Trump's been saying all year, watch the ballots, watch the mail-in ballots. They're fraudulent, even though everyone understands, including the FBI, that there is no fraud. He's been saying that. So the reason he's been saying that is because if you can challenge the ballots on election day, they don't get counted until a few days later, until weeks later, because most people don't realize a president is not declared a winner officially until all the votes are counted. The news always says projected winner. So he's been saying, I will step down if I lose on election day. So his plan is to stop the counts, stop the ballot counts that are going to be mail in, because about almost what, over 50 something percent of Democrats are mailing their ballots in, and a majority of Republicans are voting on election day in person. So he's going to appear as though he's winning on election night. Those numbers are going to change in the days and weeks afterwards as they count more ballots. However, they have a limited time to count those ballots. I think until December 6th or December 3rd, I can't remember, is the deadline by the Electoral College. If he stops the counts by doing challenges and legal challenges repeatedly, he can effectively end the count. Millions of ballots won't be counted. And then on December 14th, the state delegations of the House are responsible for then determining who is the election winner. Because if that happens, 270 electoral votes will go to no one, and that's what you need to win. So in that event, people think, oh, well, the Democrats have the House, so they'll just name Joe Biden the winner. Not true. Even though the Democrats have a majority in the House, more state delegations are still Republican in the House, meaning there are still more states that have a Republican majority of House of Representatives members. All you need is a simple majority, 26 state delegations, to vote for whatever president they vote for. And it's very likely that the Democrats won't have 26 come January 1st at the end of the election. So effectively, Donald Trump can be declared president of the United States while millions and millions of ballots don't even get counted. And that's why I continuously say, and I say repeatedly over and over again, show up and vote in person. Do not allow him to win by stealing the election, because that is what his game plan is. And that's why he doesn't seem like he's trying to win, because he doesn't have to win.
I got a few screws loose since the days of my youth. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose and I'm telling you the truth. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose, you don't really want proof. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose, why do what I do? It's a few screws loose podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the most consistently inconsistent podcast that there is, that you will find anywhere on the face of the internet, A Few Screws Loose, where we have mental health discussions by mentally ill men of color. My name is Dan, and you can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show on Twitter, IG, as well as YouTube at Screws Loose Pod. Today I am joined by
P from Charlotte. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at P from Charlotte.
Man, we just had P on a recent episode of Black Law and Legalized, where we were talking about the election cycle, things that are going on, things that may happen. Man, I can honestly say, I said this on Black Law and I'll say it now, and I know P, you may disagree, but when I heard Donald Trump caught COVID, I was ecstatic. I was very happy. And I honestly, I have no reservations with saying that I hoped that it took him out. I didn't voice it publicly, like online, like, yeah, I hope this shit kills this nigga, man. But I was just sat here quietly hoping that something very horrible happened to him, because he is a horrible person. And I don't believe he deserves the sympathy that anybody's giving him. I don't believe that he deserves any of the get well, especially from people. And I voiced this before too, people that spend 90% of their day saying, man, I can't stand him. Oh, my God, he did this. Oh, he's such a horrible person. Then they hear he gets COVID. Well, you know, I don't wish death on anybody. So, you know, I hope he does recover. And, you know, nah, fuck that, man. You can't have it both ways in my book. So, you know, when he caught it, I'm like, you know, if he dies, he dies. Okay, cool.
And look, don't speak in the past tense now. I mean, he wants everybody to think yeah. that it's over. You know, oh, I beat it. Like, yeah, he'd be the only motherfucker catch COVID, 74 years old, obese, and then beat it in 3 days. You know, it's like, man, get the fuck out of here.
And the nigga ugly, too.
The ugliest shit. You know, just calling it like it is isn't wishing harm on nobody. I mean, I wasn't mad. I don't feel sorry for him. I said it the same day. I said, why the hell I'm going to feel sorry for him? I know people that lost relatives to COVID. My whole life been jacked up because of this stupid ass virus that he continues to ignore. You know, he got now 212,000 people dead. This man been ignoring this virus since January when he first found out about it. He's been flaunting it, you know, not wearing masks, been getting everybody, all his base, riled up to ignore the virus and pretend it's not real. Fake treatments like hydroxychloroquine and all that shit, and making up stuff and ridiculing Joe Biden for wearing a mask. And I mean, it the list goes on and on and on. And then he catches it. He's like, well, you know what? You know, you get what you ask for. And he asked for it. And, you know, he's pretending like, oh, I beat it. Look at me, which is a slap in the face to everybody that's sick or died, saying, don't let it dominate you. Or what'd he say? I beat it and I may be immune. I don't know. It's like, you know, fuck you, man. You had world class treatment that nobody else literally in the world has gotten. You are holed up in the White House. Nobody knows your condition because you don't think that we need to know, even though you are the president. We paying for this shit. Man, you know, I mean, look, I'm not going to say I wish anything on anybody. I just know this dumb motherfucker caught it because he's stupid as shit. And if anybody deserves to have caught it, it's him. And sadly, he's spreading it to a lot of people who didn't deserve to catch it because they've been forced to go back to work by rich jerks like him who don't seem to care about anybody else.
Man, that motherfucker ain't rich. You know, matter of fact, I think Trump is the brokest president we've ever had.
I don't know. We had some bums now. We had some bammers that was ass out when they got elected.
Man, I think, what's his name? Millard Fillmore had more money than Trump.
I think that clean cut Grover Cleveland. Who the fuck is Grover Cleveland?
He was far from clean cut, too.
And he was far from broke. That motherfucker was paid.
Man, but yeah, like, I don't feel sorry for him. No sympathy, no get well, no, none of that shit, man. You know, and
they want a cookie. Oh, I don't wish ill on anyone. Get well soon. It's like that motherfucker made fun of Hillary Clinton for having pneumonia. Come on.
Yeah, man. And somebody we know, I saw recently said, well, you know, it goes against my beliefs to do anything other than to you know, wish him well and wish that he get better. Like, man, I'd have to question your beliefs then, because let's just say Hitler, okay? Hitler comes down with, I don't know, the Spanish flu or whatever, the Ebola.
Fucking Hitler, herpes.
Yeah, he already had syphilis. Yeah. Like, who's, at what point do you say, yo, I don't think we should be wishing Hitler well now. Maybe we should hope that he dies.
You know, that's that American shit, though, man. People here, they just, everything is for attention. You know what I mean? They think they looking good. You know, they think it makes them look like good, upstanding citizens and good Christians. But it's like, you know, Megan, just don't say nothing. Because look, let me tell you, these bombers don't really feel that way. They don't. Nah. They just got to say it, though, just for attention. Like I said a minute ago. I ain't saying nothing. I didn't wish him well or bad. All I said was, I don't feel sorry for him. He got it, and that's the reality. He's sick as I don't know what, and that's the reality. And, you know, whatever happens to him, he can't say that it's not his own fault.
Yeah. Man, walking around with no mask and all this other shit. So I guess what that's going to lead me in, and the way I want to kind of tie mental health into the current election cycle is, one,
Stockholm
fatigue.
Syndrome.
Yeah. Oh, President Trump, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. President, sir. I hope you get better, sir. Hey.
Man. I mean, I'm serious, man. Like, I usually don't use them terms like coon and all that, but I'm sorry. Some of these dudes out here, some of these women and men out here, our people, I'm like, you know, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? He don't care about us. What do you care about him for?
Not at all, man. And, you know, that's part of the problem. I can't say it's part of the problem. It's part of what I perceive the problem to be with the Black community is, and I think I'm at liberty to say this, is we're too forgiving and too accepting. Like, our entire existence has been forgiveness and acceptance. Like, we can't keep doing that shit, man. We can't keep doing it. And, you know, you see these cops killing all these innocent, unarmed people. And the first thing the family gets out there, and of course, it's probably written by some PR person or a lawyer, but, you know, they just, I forgive you for what you did. And nah, fuck that. I'm not. If you kill one of my family members or somebody close to me, someone I love, no, I'm not going to get on a podium and talk about how I forgive you and how I'm praying for your family too. Yeah. No, fuck you, man.
Well, like, it's like that guy that just got killed by the police in Texas. That motherfucker was a Blue Lives Matter, Donald Trump supporting, outspoken police supporter. And what happened to him?
Yeah, Jonathan something. Yeah.
He got shot and killed by the cops. In the video, he walked up to the cops. They said in the video from the police's, what do you call that little camera they have?
The body cam?
Body cam. He goes up to the officer and officer's hand to shake and says, hey, man, how you doing? I hope you're doing well. And he ended up getting tased and shot and killed. I'm like, oh, well, it goes to show you that avoid them. They're not your friends. They don't like you. Yeah. No matter how, whatever you want to call it. I'm trying my best not to call him what I want to call him, but because he's dead and, you know, it's fucked up. He got killed. And I'm not saying he deserved it. I'm just saying it's a rude awakening. But it's sadly he didn't get a chance to learn that lesson because he's dead now,
man. And I look at that particular situation like this. I see a lot of people joking about it. Now, it's one thing for me to wish for me to wish somebody dies. And then it's another thing to joke about somebody dying. Man, I got to draw the line somewhere. But nah, I mean, the dude, all his posts were about his experiences. Now, can I say that his experiences or the experiences that he said he had are skewed? Probably. That's still, a lot of people are saying, yeah, look what this coon got. Look what, you know what? A man still lost his life. An innocent Black man still lost his life, regardless of what he believed or what he said. The fact of the matter is, while he was there trying to break up a fight and trying to have a civil conversation with the police, he did not deserve to get shot. He did not deserve to lose his life. So, you know, agree or disagree with some of his social media posts, the man does not deserve to be laying in a grave right now. So,
well,
that,
yeah, that's the other issue with our people, too. That, you know, the third issue that you that I add to your list about what's wrong with our people, whether we are too forgiving and too welcoming, that we also too willing to throw each other away. You know,
yeah,
this whole idea that we got to, and I'm not saying I agree with that dude. I am 100,000,000% in disagreement with what he thought about police and the situations going on in this country. Like, I was in the fire department. I ran calls with these motherfuckers. I got in trouble for talking to them motherfuckers, telling them not to hit my patients. I know what they do. So I don't agree with him at all. However, I don't think that we should just automatically, when somebody has a different perspective or whether they're wrong or not, just throw you away. Now, there are limits to everything. Candace Owens tight end, an example. But, you know, right. You don't just say, that's what that Uncle Tom Coon get because he shouldn't have thought this and just forget about it. Well, you do know that cop didn't know what he thought. That cop saw him as a Black man, whether he was a Blue Lives Matter Black man or not, and shot him anyway.
Yeah.
So what in the hell does it matter? Ultimately, he's dead now. And that's, you know, just goes right along with what's always been. Not going to stop.
Man, I'll never celebrate the death of a Black person, especially one that is killed by the police. And again, like you said, everything has limits. Now, if he's a child rapist that's holding a preschool hostage with a machine, yeah, sure. But nah, I'll never celebrate. And then the other thing that people fail to realize is, all right, I remember you came to me. This was a long time ago in an alley. True story.
I don't know about this story.
True story, man. You came to me in the alley, man, and you were looking kind of down and kind of like just defeated. And I was like, what the fuck wrong with you, man? Man, from this day on, I'm never fighting again.
I remember that. I was, I said, what? Yeah, right.
Nah, man, for real, man. I'm just tired of this shit, man. I'm never fighting anybody again, man. I'm never fighting again. He was like 18 years old. I said,
no, I wasn't even that old, because only a few weeks later we fucked up.
Yeah, that was 17. What's the name? He was probably 17. But I looked at you and I had a cigarette hanging out my mouth. Like, nah, man, I don't think that's true. Nah, man, I'm telling you, man, I ain't doing it no more, man. And I don't know what got you to that point. What awakening did you have that made you decide to say that?
Man, look, I have no idea. I must have been smacked or something.
I thought you were about to give a deep answer. Man, I was like, man, look, I have no idea.
There was no logical reason. There was no logical reason. I must have been smacked or something. Seriously, because I remember that. And I remember he was like, yeah, right, isn't he? You see how long that lasts. And I was like, nah, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, I ain't never going to fight again. I'm tired of this, man. That shit ain't even lasted but a couple months. Like, what the hell? Like, what was I? I have no idea what I was thinking. Like, if it was today, I'd say, oh, man, I was on Valium. Right. But I wasn't on no Valium back then.
Man, I think probably something happened, man. Something had to happen. Like, you know, when sometimes stuff happens and people have knee-jerk reactions, maybe somebody got killed or something like that, and say, man, fuck that.
I can't wrap my brain around what possibly could have happened. I think I just was thinking about dumb shit one day.
So, you know, I say that, and then, you know, some other things, I'm sure, I mean, I'm not going to bring that up on the podcast. There was something else, man. But there was a lot of things. You remember how we used to go on, and I'm going somewhere with all of this, on Georgia Ave by Howard to the Right Knowledge store, and we used to get all those books by the Dr. Scrolls. Malachi.
No, they're called scrolls, not books.
Oh, well, shit. That goes to show how much I care now. But, man, we used to go and we used to get these things and we used to read these pamphlets or the scrolls by Dr. Malachi York. And part of it was, for me, I'm going to speak for myself, part of it was being a nonconformist. Like, I don't like to go along with the crowd. The crowd says, Jesus, 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 the Nation of Islam, you know, Allah, Muhammad. I'm like, shit, I ain't going along with none of them. I'm going to go do this. But,
let me correct you real quick. I don't care if people get mad or not. Nation of Islam, yeah, Allah and Muhammad. But they don't, that doesn't make up a majority of what they start their sentences with.
Damn, would they, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
No, now it's the Louis Honorable Farrakhan? Minister. Yeah, if it used to be the Honorable Elijah, now it's the Honorable Minister. I'm not saying they're wrong or right. I'm just saying that's what they start their sentences off with.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we kind of, not shunned it, but we looked at alternative beliefs and things of that nature. And, you know, we spent a couple of months reading it. And, you know, May 5th, 2000, all the planets was going to be in alignment. And then the spaceship was going to come and
from
pick
the
up.
Riz,
yep. And it was going to come pick up. So, all right.
It's going to restore our barthery glands, remember?
Oh, yeah. The ones that, ain't that responsible for our third eye?
Yeah. But actually, now they call it the pineal gland.
The pineal gland. Yep, I've seen that too. So the reason I bring all that up is to look at this dude that just got killed, Jonathan something or another, who believed that the police were great, that they were great to him. Look, at different points in our lives, we have different beliefs. We have different experiences. But the thing is, he wasn't killed when he said he wasn't going to fight no more. He wasn't killed when him and I were reading these pamphlets from Dr. Malachi York. So we had time to grow, to have other life experiences, to be able to look back and say, yo, we were wrong. So, you know, I'm not going to knock him for saying, yo, you know, I cops treat me well and, you know, this, that and the other, because as long as he's alive, he has time to be able to have other experiences that may that may show him that the way he felt at that one particular time was completely and totally wrong. And we've all had those moments where we've gone through life thinking, this is right. Whatever it is, this is right. This is right. This is right. And then something happens that just shatters your world. And it's like, yo, that shit that I've been thinking my entire life is wrong. So, I mean, that was taken away from this man. So, nah, I'm not going to knock him for his social media posts, because he, even though he was a grown man, he still had time to grow. He still had time to learn other things that are contrary to what he believed when he posted it. So, you know, all y'all people that's joking about it, yo, people grow, people change. He died at 31. At my age, I'm almost 40 years old. I'm nowhere near the same person I was at 31. My thought process is nowhere, well, similar, but it's not exactly the same as when I was 31. Man, you want to add anything to that? How about the way you view things now at almost 40 years old versus at 28, 29, 30?
Yeah, I'm glad you went back to my 20s because I've been the same motherfucker for 10 years now and I'm 38 because I've been just pretty much in retirement since I was 27. But I will say you do learn a lot about things. All right, let me start over. Most people ideally are learning a lot of their life lessons and how the world really works in their mid-30s. And like I said a minute ago, you know, this man didn't get a chance to learn his lesson. He's dead now. And the people who are so militant, we talked about Malachi York a second ago. You got a lot of people who didn't know about that guy or the Nation of Islam or all these other beliefs or the Hebrew Israelites and all that stuff. They didn't know about them in the 90s or the 2000s, in their teens, 20s. Some of them learn about this in the last 5-10 years in their 30s, and now suddenly they have this all or nothing approach where they look at people like him and say, you a sellout, you stupid, you a coon. And then they look at all people who don't agree with them as being the enemy and wrong. And that's that absolutist thinking. That's that absolute thinking that is never acceptable. It is never, look, nobody, I'm going to use what Barack Obama said, nobody has a monopoly on right. So a lot of the time, what we determine as right and wrong is based on our experiences. And, you know, this guy's experiences obviously made him think that he was somehow in the club. A lot of us, you know, I mean, look, he probably didn't, he acknowledged he didn't come up like us. He came up in the country. He said that he loved white women because his white friends, you know, we didn't even talk to people outside of our race where we was from growing up, you know. So his experiences was much, much different than ours. And he was only 31, man. He did not get a chance to learn. And I'm not trying to say my opinion is fact, but look, we know what's going on and we know how the world works. So I'm comfortable in saying as fact, he was not old enough to learn through his experiences that they don't like us. So he never got that opportunity. And that's tragic. And now his family has to deal with it. I'm sure his family's seeing all the horrible things on social media said about him. And, you know, because, you know, that's fucking ridiculous, too. But that's what people do. And so now they got to live with all of this mess all the rest of their lives. And it's just a shame, man.
Yeah, man. And so, I mean, I can honestly say that the further away from the election that we were, the more, I don't want to use the word content, but the more okay I was, because in January, February, March, I was looking forward for election season to start. I mean, we know it had already started by then, but I was looking to get closer and closer to the presidential election. And the closer we've gotten, the more unhappy I'm finding myself. And you know how people people say, well, happiness is within you, you know, only you can make yourself happy. Not when there's so many fucking assholes out here everywhere you look. Like every time you turn on the TV, assholes. Every time you get on social media, assholes. Every time you go out into public, like I can't even escape the shit at work, at my job. Everybody wants to talk about politics, and it's like, damn, man, can this shit just hurry up and pass now? So the past few weeks, I've been withdrawn, man. I've been withdrawn from social media, withdrawn from talking to people. Like I've even had people reach out to me and say, yo, man, you must have ran out of your meds. You must be off your meds, man, because you just withdrawn. Nah, I haven't run out of my meds. I will probably by the end of this show. But nah, I haven't run out of my meds. I just been slowly withdrawing from society, man, just to kind of protect my mental state, because I didn't predict that things were going to get this fucking hectic, this fucking nasty, even though we kind of knew it. But come on, who saw Donald Trump on the election stage sitting here just yelling and just nonsense, yelling nonsense at Joe Biden, who was trying to be as presidential as he possibly could? Like, how do you even fucking react to that? Like, if you go low, like, for instance, like Biden called him a clown. Like, so will someone get this clown to shut up? Like, you almost have to stoop to his level, and that's not the type of person Biden is, but that's also a critique of mine that I have for the Democratic Party, that whole when they go low, we go high bullshit. Nah, because that shit just makes you look soft, man. Like, man, I don't know, man. It's just been frustrating, man, watching this whole shit unfold and to know that Trump is going out of his way to try to steal this election, whether it be through mail-in ballots, removing the mailboxes. Then you have these Republican governors that are doing a bunch of wild shit in their states for the mail-in voting, like Texas, one of them. So, man, this shit just, it's making me really unhappy, man. And I thought I'd be happy because I'm like, well, not happy, but I thought I'd be better because it's like, okay, finally, we're at the point where we can get this motherfucker out of here. But then you realize not everybody wants him out of here. Like, how could you not?
Well, I think, too, nobody saw that the seemingly impossible accusation that he won't step down, even if he loses, that, my father been saying it since even 2016. But like Bill Maher has been saying, everyone thought that was nonsense. But as you started to see throughout this year, when he first started attacking mail-in voting, the ballots, it's going to be fraud. They're a mess. You know, the FBI keeps coming out and saying, no, it's not. That's his game plan now. So now we know that even though there is no chance that he can possibly win a normal election against Joe Biden, I think everybody now is resigned to the fact that it's not going to be normal, that the likelihood of him actually staging a coup and ending democracy. Oh, side note, there was a Republican senator, I think his name was Mike Lee, who tweeted the other day on social media, on Twitter, I mean, about during a debate. He said, as a Republican senator, that democracy, we're not a democracy, and that America is all about wealth and liberty. This man said twice, this Republican, that we are not a democracy. And that goes to show you why everybody's concerned, because Donald Trump says, I'm not stepping down if I lose. Hey, we'll have a peaceful transfer of power because there won't be a transfer of power because I'm not going to lose. Throw out the ballots, get rid of the ballots. We know now, seeing as though most Democrats are going to do mail-in ballots, that he's probably going to remain president after this, no matter what. And that's a shame. And that's not crazy talk. That's what's really going on. So you're not wrong for hiding out. I mean, look, I sparingly expose myself to this bullshit, subject myself to this bullshit on social media from politics or whatever. I've only started recently talking politics again because after about 3 years, because it's like, you know, you gotta say something. Even if only one person learned something new, you gotta say something, because, you know, these are some dangerous times now. And everyone will say, sure, Republicans say that about you, you say that about them. Nah, man, you got prominent Republicans all saying the same shit. So I don't know, man, it's concerning out here. And all you can do is just hope the systems that are in place actually work, which I don't have any faith they will, but we'll see.
Yeah. And speaking of, you brought up Bill Maher. I'm not the biggest Bill Maher fan anymore. I used to watch his show a lot because mostly for his guest, because I don't particularly care for people who shame others because of their religion. And that's what Bill Maher does. He shames. He's an atheist. That's fine. I have no problem with atheists. I have no problem with whatever your religious beliefs is. Even back when P was an atheist, he's like, hey, man, I don't believe in none of this shit. All right, cool, man. Yo, what you trying to do later? Trying to go boxing? Like, I don't care. As long as you don't try to force that shit onto others, and as long as you don't try to belittle others for not believing what you believe. And that's pretty much the whole Republican Party right there. But is like, yeah, I stopped watching him for a while, but now I started watching him again because of his guest. And you're right, he's played clips of him going back to 2016 saying he's not going to leave peacefully. Even if he loses, he's not going to leave peacefully. What are we going to do? So he had Bernie Sanders on there, and he asked Bernie Sanders straight up, Bernie, Joe Biden wins the election. Donald Trump refuses to leave. What's the plan here? Oh, he has no choice. He has to leave. Okay, Bernie, but what if he does not leave? Then what? Well, the American people are going to have to mobilize then and let their voices be heard.
What the fuck are we supposed to do about it?
Like, us mobilizing and letting our voices be heard is us voting. So it's like we voted him out. He won't leave. Now what are we supposed to do? So Bernie kept giving these real vague, well, you know, we do have a plan, but this is unprecedented. So, you know, we're not really prepared to go over what the plan is. And then you had Nancy Pelosi with her weird ass quote, we have some damn arrows in our quiver. It's like, no, y'all need to lay out exactly what the plan is right now before the shit happens. So everyone knows what to expect. So everyone knows what we're going to do. You can't wait for, say an asteroid's coming at Earth, right? And it's going to hit Australia. You can't wait until it hits Australia and say, okay, we have a plan. Let's evacuate Australia. The shit's already hit. Like, you can't, you have to expose what your plan is now so the American people know what to think, know what to do, know what our elected officials are supposed to do, know what our courts are supposed to do. Like, the Democrats need to lay that shit out. And I know I really hate making this a political show, but let's face it. That just much like everything else this year, unprecedented times call for unprecedented measures. So it's like, yo, we need to know what to do when he won't step down. I mean, the Second Amendment, that's literally what the Second Amendment's for. But come on, do you think a whole bunch of U.S. citizens with handguns stand a chance against the U.S. military or against Secret Service or any of these other trained groups? Like,
you
no.
Mean, you mean stand a chance against the militias that have talked about the Second Proud Amendment? Boys. Yeah, they talk about the, like, the people that tried to kidnap the Michigan governor, you know, all those assholes, those ones that talk about the Constitution and Second Amendment, but yet they're supporting a man who says democracy is not a thing and he's not concerned with it. So it goes to show you how, you know, the type of people that we're dealing with here.
Yeah, exactly, man. And I took after you too, when it comes to social media. Because I, much like you, I've been saying for years, the time for discussion is over. There's nothing to talk about now. So any and everybody that I know, not personally know, but either acquainted with online on social media or whatever, if they openly support the current president, I unfollow them. Like, straight up. Like, you know what? I don't care what you have to say. There's nothing you can say that makes this okay. Because if you support a racist, let's just leave it at racist. If you support a racist and a white supremacist, that means you're against me. So there's no way you can compartmentalize and say, well, I support our president, but I don't think he's a racist, even though you happen to be a person of color and you're saying he's a racist. I just don't see it. I don't see the correlation. I don't, like, nah, fuck that. Unfollow. I went on an unfollowing spree, man.
Well, they can't even say what policies they support and why he's a good president. They can't even say that. Ultimately, he's a racist. And if you support him, then you must not have, you may not be a quote racist yourself, but if you support him, you can't separate you can't separate that from your support. So if you support him, this man who openly wants violent uprisings against our people, especially, I can't be friends with you. And because here's the thing. They love to say, oh, politics, but because y'all don't agree with your politics, your Black Lives Matter politics, your anti-fascist politics. I'm like, well, so you're a pro-fascist and you're against Black people's lives actually meaning something? That's not politics. Yeah. That, you know, that's the thing that needs to get put straight. That shit, that is not politics. You can't say, you know, okay, if you said, I support Donald Trump and I don't agree with you on the fact that we need single-payer health care. That's politics. But the fact that we say Black Lives Matter, and I don't even say that, but I'm just using that as the example. Black Lives Matter, you know, I noticed All Lives Matter went away because they really now, especially after Rittenhouse killed the people in Wisconsin and they supported him and praised him, they've totally now abandoned saying All Lives Matter because now they acknowledge that they don't matter. They don't care. So if you support a man who has no problem with our lives being ended, then I can't fuck with you. We have nothing in common and there's no friendship to be had here.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm the same way too, man. There's just nothing to talk about anymore. I don't want to see or hear anything you have to say. And, you know, I seldom get on Facebook. And the few times I do, it's like, put it this way. We have a Black Law and Legalize Facebook page, right? With a couple thousand followers, like way more than probably Instagram and Twitter combined. And I don't know why, but people just like to follow us on Facebook. And I would get on, I would post videos here and there. But in order to do that, I would have to log into my personal page first in order to get to the Black Law page. So I would kind of scroll, just, you know, people I grew up with. And man, I've seen a lot of very disheartening things. And even from people that you and I both know, because, you know, we all came up together, that makes you stop and pause for a second. Like, without saying any names or giving away too much information, we know somebody that's really into sports who refuses to not call the Washington Redskins the Washington Redskins, because how you can't tell me what offends Indians and this, that, and other. So that's a whole thing. We also have another mutual friend who is, let's say, he is not the healthiest person. He is actually far from the healthiest person. Like, if he catches a cold, he can probably die because of a lot of his underlying health issues. And I've seen pictures of him at clubs and at parties and hanging out, drinking with people. And it's like, yo, you know better. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You got a family, man. Like, well, really, what are you doing, man? You seen that shit?
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'm gonna use that to circle back to voting, right? That's the shit that's been pissing me off. Because, man, look, I look like a goddamn homeless, disheveled lion. My hair is fucked up. I ain't got a haircut all year. I don't go out no more. I've been shut down since fucking February, essentially, because of this virus. And everybody's talking about voting by mail because of the virus. Nobody was talking about voting by mail in 2016. So now I'm looking at all these people, been going out, going to the bars, going to the clubs, going on vacation, going to the gyms, doing whatever. But then talking about I'm mailing my ballot today. And I'm like, you know, what in the fuck are you mailing in your ballot in for? Why you can't go stand on in line and go vote in person? You know, it's ridiculous because, again, like I said a minute ago, I didn't get too much into detail. But if too many people mail a ballot, then Donald Trump's going to look, is going to have a lead on election night. And he's going to file court cases. He's going to file motions to stop the recounts, to delay it until December so the House can vote for him and make him president again. That's the game plan. You have to vote on election day. And it's been really irritating me because, you know, it's like people know better. And I see all these people that I say to my wife, I'll see somebody. I say, you know, I respected this
or
person.
Or early vote.
Yes, I'm saying show up in person. I mean, early vote or whatever, but just don't mail it in because, you know, we got to get enough people to beat them on election night. But, you know, it's just,
yeah.
I see people, I talk to my wife all the time. I'll look on social media and I'll say, oh, and I'll be stunned or upset. I'm like, I had respect for this person. I thought this person was smarter than this. And I'll just see some stupid conspiracy theory they share or some stupid nonsense. And it's just like, it's depressing, man. You look at people and you think, I thought these people knew better. And apparently people don't.
Yeah, you would think they know better, but they don't. And that's another reason why I got off of Facebook too, is older people, man. People like my mother's generation. There's people our age's grandparents on Facebook. I can't kick it in the same places that they do because they believe in a lot of ridiculous stuff. They do and say a lot of ridiculous things. And, you know, like you said, it's like, man, I used to respect you, but man, damn, I can't fuck with you now, man. So the other thing, too, and how this affects people's mental health is everybody's angry, man. Everybody's angry. People who support Trump, they're angry. People who don't support Trump, they're angry. And then the U.S., how we affect just the rest of the world. The rest of the world is fucking angry because of this jackass in the U.S. Man, you look at all the treaties we pulled out of the Paris. What was it? The Paris climate deal.
Something like that.
Yeah. And
the Sokovia Accord. So now the Avengers can just run around and do whatever the fuck they want to do with no oversight. We pulled out of that.
Yeah. Iranian nuclear deal. And what president in U.S. history has sat down with anybody from North Korea? Fuck this, North Korea.
This asshole that's up there right now.
Yeah, exactly. So the rest of the world is looking at us like, Jesus Christ. The United States does have probably the strongest economy in the world. So whatever happens here, it does affect the rest of the world, man. So it's like another 4 years of this dude, the world's going to go to shit, man. And I think Russia is going, This is my personal belief. I have nothing to support this, but I think Russia is going to make some power moves if he gets another 4 years. They're going to make some power moves.
The only reason that they haven't actually gotten further is because Germany. People don't like to hear this in America, but the leader of the Western world is Angela Merkel. Donald Trump pretty much left Europe and
I like her.
Western Asia up to he vacated everything and let Russia have it. Problem is, as long as Angela Merkel's right there, they can't do as much. And Russia is not as strong as people think. Germany is actually the leader of the Western world now, whether it be economical, whether it be, I mean, their military is not very strong. I mean, they're not weak, but I'm talking about strong compared to the U.S. That's like saying Arnold Schwarzenegger is not strong compared to Ronnie Coleman, you know? But
yeah.
So we've pretty much lost that position. And those countries don't respect us. Putin doesn't respect us because he knows he has something over Donald Trump. So if it wasn't for Germany, Russia would be pretty much invading a lot of those countries even more openly, like they're trying to prop up the dictator in Belarus and how they invaded Crimea and parts of Ukraine. You know, if it wasn't for Angela Merkel and even China, we may not be friends with China a lot, but China actually does not like Russia. And they haven't even back when they were communists. So if it wasn't for Germany and China, we'd be in a lot worse shape. Look, ultimately, I don't give a fuck about the economy. I don't. I really don't, because I've said this on the show before. I'm all about life first. Even look at the president's oath. The first things he must protect is life. So I'm more worried about if he stages a coup when he's president again. We already got 212,000 deaths because of a pandemic he ignores. I mean, look, this fucker has the virus and he's still walking around saying, look, it's not a big deal. It's like the flu. Look at this. Nothing. No big deal. They don't care. And the reason why we're here is because they don't care. And if he wins again, he's going to push a dangerous vaccine that damn sure isn't even ready yet. Even the makers are saying, hey, it's not ready yet. And it's probably we may very well see a million deaths from this goddamn virus if he continues to take over. And that's my concern. You can't have anything, any benefits of money in a positive economy if you got a million people dead.
Yeah, that's true, man. And Dr. Fauci early on. His predictions or estimates were 220,000 deaths. Yeah, and that's documented. You can go back to February and you'll hear him say that is what we're looking at. So after a whole bunch of pushback from the Trump administration, they basically forced him to come out and say
60.
Oh, that's worst case scenario. You know what I really meant was. Nah, he was spot on when he said 220, because look, we're in October now, we're at 212, and by December, we're probably going to be at 250 if I had to wager a guess, because
we may be at 400 by the end of the year.
Yeah, schools are back in, and I mean, I don't have any children, school-age children, so it's like, man, in talking to people, and I even asked this on social media just to kind of temperature feel, but in my personal life, I see a racial divide, man.
Of course. Look at the numbers.
It might not be the same for everybody, but what I see is black people, black families, they are either not sending their children back to school or they're very hesitant.
I'm not sending mine. I don't care if they reopen schools anyway. Sending
their kids back to school. I don't blame you. Right now, one of my close friends, she white woman, she has three kids, and she sent all three of her kids back to school. Thing is, she can work from home, and it's like you have no excuse. So what her excuse is, who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach them? I'm not good at the whole teaching and distance learning and this and that. You know what? That's the teacher's job to teach.
Exactly. Yeah. The fucking teacher. And here's the thing, man. Like, people will just say, oh, my kids got to go to school. They're not learning. Or the bullshit argument people was making saying, what about the kids who don't have access? And I always call bullshit on that because no other year they gave a fuck about poor people. Now suddenly you do? Nah. You know, we don't have the luxury of staying home. And if you look at the numbers, a lot of white people don't feel the virus is being as threatening because they are dying at a very low rate. I think black people are dying at 3 times rate and Latinos are dying at 4 or 5 times the rate as white people. So, of course, they don't care. If you listen to what a lot of people say in the Republican Party, they say we know the demographic who are mainly affected by this. So who do you think they're talking about? They're talking about us. So they don't care. They don't care. And also look at this, too. Yeah, a lot of our people have to go to work and expose ourselves to this stupid virus and bring it home, and we have underlying issues. But a lot of white people do too. But you can't tell me. And look, I've been in the medical field. I was an EMT. I know my way around, you know, medicine and stuff. You can't tell me that all of that is only because of our pre-existing conditions. We all know that there's a major issue with race discrepancy and racism in medical treatment. So a lot of the time, our people don't even go to the hospital until we're deathly ill. We don't get many of the interventions that could save our lives. And even routine medical issues like delivering a baby. I mean, look at how many black women die doing that, that white women get. We don't get that. So, you know, that's something else nobody wants to address. So they just don't care because they see it as somebody else's problem, not theirs.
And speaking to that, too, you, I mean, me and you have disagreed over the years about Obamacare, right? And I guess the reason we disagreed is because how it affected each of us. It affects you differently than it affects me. And that's partially because of the state that I'm in as well. But, you know, if Obamacare does get struck down, which it's slated to do in the middle of a and I just got this point from Kamala Harris in the debate. In the middle of a pandemic, you want to slash health care for 20 million people because COVID is going to be a pre-existing condition.
Yep.
So how can you in good conscience do that? And then going back to COVID. So when I had COVID, and we're just going to say it was a positive. Man, I was fucked up for 2 weeks. I'm talking about, you know, they say, oh, it's just the flu. I've had the flu before. Nah, that shit's not just the flu. It's the flu on steroids. It's the flu times 10. Man, I was fucked up. I thought I was going to die. Like, I never told anybody that. But I thought I was going to die, man. The way it makes you feel, man, I could barely function. One day, I got up at work. I walked out. And mind you, I'm infected at work, but that's where I got infected at.
Man, that time nobody knew.
Right, exactly. I got up and I walked out. I said, fuck, man, I can't take this shit. And I got a picture. I need to post that picture of me. Well, somebody snapped a picture of me at my desk, hunched over, grabbing my head, grabbing my face, sweating. And, man, body aches, couldn't move. The fatigue was ridiculous. The shortness of breath. So I say all that to say that was in February, even though, you know, of course, President O is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Took me 2 weeks to even kind of bounce back from that. Now we're in October. I'm not the most healthy person, but I'm healthy enough. I work out regularly, exercise regularly. We've been working out since, what, 1998?
Yeah,
so it's like been working out forever. And now, what, 8 months later after COVID, man, I'm still having shortness of breath. And like what I do, I box. Boxing is anaerobic/aerobic/cardio. So there's no reason for me to have shortness of breath working out, but I'm still getting shortness of breath, still getting lightheaded, still having trouble breathing, wheezing. You remember that video I sent you when I was just shadow boxing, and I'm wheezing. And this was like months and months after having COVID. So we don't know what the permanent effects are, and we won't know for many years, man. So right
got
now,
some ideas that they like to ignore, like heart issues, cardiomyopathy and blood clots and liver failure and liver disease.
And my coworker, he went and had a routine physical. He complained about the same thing, shortness of breath. He also had COVID. They x-rayed his lungs and now he has spots on his lungs. Now, they don't know what it is. They're like, well, it could be lung cancer, but the way it's spread out, it doesn't look like it. Like what we would see lung cancer. So we're not sure what all these little dark, what are they called, nodules or whatever are. So it's like, we're just going to have to continue to monitor them. And I'm like, damn, I haven't had my lungs x-rayed. Well, shit, yeah, I did when I went to the doctor. But still, it's like, man, it took me 2 weeks. The president 3 days later is ready to have rallies. I'm almost 40 years old. I still got a couple years to 40. It's not like I'm 39 and a half. I still got a couple years to go till I'm 40, but still, a 74-year-old man talking about he's back, he's ready, he's good to go, that he's not contagious, even though he's we haven't seen any medical evidence, yeah, that suggests otherwise, man. So, yo, 2020 has been a shitstorm, a fucking mess, man. And this is going to be a stupid question, but just stick with me here. In 2019, did you envision what the fuck was going to happen over the next 12 months?
Hell no. And you want to know what else makes 2020 fucked up? We ain't got no Marvel movie yet this year. We missed out on two of them already.
And Black Panther died, man.
Yeah. It's like, damn, man, what the fuck? And in other bad news, Jamie Foxx is back as Electro in Spider-Man 3. Why?
Man, he bored. That's all that is. He bored. Man, I ain't got nothing to do today. Let me go be Electro.
But
he,
you know,
sucked, man.
Man, he was terrible. He was the worst. But you know, but just going back to what we was talking about, man, you know, it's been a shit show. And people keep on saying, man, I can't wait till 2021. I'm like, what the fuck? You think the virus gonna go out of town for New Year's? I mean, this is not going nowhere until we find out what to do. It can go away if people would wear fucking masks and do what they're supposed to do, but people don't do that. So this is what we stuck with. So it's depressing. I don't really plan for the future much now because I'm like, well, fuck, who knows if I'm going to be here? Because all it takes is one mistake. You know, you got it. So it's just like, you know, this is what it is now. You know, that's just fucked up. You know, it's messed up too. I got two school age kids in high school. You know, I told my wife until they got a real effective vaccine and the virus is gone, even if they open schools back up here in Charlotte, I'm not sending my kids back to in-person schools, period. And I got two babies. My son doesn't have to stop for two more years, thankfully. But I just don't see how any of this shit changes, man. It's just what I know about medicine and pathogens and how vaccines work and what people need to do. People are not doing the thing that we need to do to make sure the virus goes away. And that's what's frightening.
Speaking of kids, man, how are your kids handling this? Because this, much like us, this is something they've never seen before. But unlike us, well, unlike you and I, we're used to not being social. We're used to just staying locked away and away from everybody. But that's not typically the lives kids lead. So how are your kids handling it?
Man, them bammers don't care. Kids these days don't give a fuck. As long as they got an iPhone or an iPad or a tablet or some shit they can play stupid games on, they don't care. You know, and what's messed up, though, is like now there's no sports. Like his baseball season, his freshman year baseball, which would have been his last year before he would go to high school to play baseball. That got canceled after two games. So that's going to hurt his development in that. So by the time he can play sports again, he'll already be a goddamn sophomore in high school. Good luck trying to make a team when you don't have as much experience after that, you know. So that's the consequence of that. But other than that, you know, I think me being an alarmist, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, me being an alarmist because I'm trained to be hypervigilant to medical issues kind of rubbed off on them a little bit. And they know why I've been serious about this. I've been telling them about this since goddamn February. So it's not really bothering them. I guess they feel like I'd rather be in the house than dead. So, or my parents be dead, or my grandparents be dead.
Man. Yeah, I wish people that's something else I'd be curious to see too. In my mind, at least, I could be totally wrong and off base, but you know the gripes that we have about the South, the Southern culture in the U.S. They operate off of you can't tell me what to do, and even if you do, I'm going to do the opposite because you're telling me what to do. How dare you infringe on whatever rights I think I have? You know what? It's really, how dare you infringe on my privileges? That's what it is. But
they're like little kids. You don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, I look at I wonder up north, back home. I don't have too many ties back home anymore. But I'm wondering what the difference is. I know a lot of people in New York City. They're still taking this shit serious. They're like, some of them do have to go to work, but outside of that, they're not doing gatherings. They're not doing any kind of events and stuff. But down here, I'm seeing even my neighbors having pool parties, just different people in the area, man, having all kinds of, what was it, Labor Day or Memorial Day, whatever day. They're doing trick-or-treating. They're going to be doing trick-or-treating, Halloween. They're having all these gatherings and shit, man. And I'm like, why? The Saints games, they're gathering at houses for Saints games. And I don't understand it, but I wonder if it's the same back up north.
You got some that still do it back home, but not as many as down here. Let me give you an example about how fucked up it is here. North Carolina has pretty much been shut down. Well, I'm using shut down loosely. Like, bars and stuff have only been recently able to reopen. The city council is pretty much all is majority Democratic, and actually mostly Black. Let me tell you how fucked up these people are. And I really get irritated about the county commission and the city of Charlotte city council. It's only one guy in the city council that's worth a damn. And he's the one that got arrested at two different protests, protesting the police abuses. These motherfuckers made up all these rules about you can't reopen. These bars and restaurants been closed for months. So they decide to reopen the bars finally. And these assholes on the city council, mind you, it's like five of them going to a restaurant together, which is not supposed to happen because that constitutes a meeting. And you're not supposed to have private meetings as council members, but that's separately. That's a separate point. They show up to a restaurant that just was allowed to open back up. No masks, no nothing. The staff had to tell these people multiple times, hey, you need to put on your mask. You need to put on your mask. At one point, one of the assholes on the city council, I'm going to say his name, some guy named Bakari something. And you leave that in. This asshole says, oh, we're friends with the police, in response to being told to put his mask on. So what the fuck does that mean? So they tell the mayor.
Not Bakari Sellers, is it?
I forget this guy's last name, but it's just. So I can't remember if it's the mayor or the county commission. I can't remember. This lady, they tell her to put her mask on. She forgot it in her car. She had to go back to her car and get it out of her purse and put it on. So think about this. You have the balls and the nerve to show up at a restaurant that lost probably $100,000 or more being closed because of their rules. And then they show up to this restaurant when there's still rules in place and they don't even follow the fucking rules. If I own that restaurant, I'd say, well, when the fuck you make me close down for all these months for? It's just, That's the shit you see in the South. I look at I'm looking at these people. This sad to say, the only government official in this town that's worth a damn, outside of the man I named on the city council, is my friend, who's the fire chief now, that I worked with personally back home in the fire department. He's the only government official here worth a damn. No joke. Other than that, everything is run about, you know, just, what do you call it? Just insert Southern politician here. You know, it's just They don't care. Everything is somebody else's problem. They don't care about the citizens. They don't get anything done. They're not proactive. They're reactive. It's just a shame. And motherfuckers don't like to be called stupid, but they keep doing stupid shit.
Yeah. And if you want to see bureaucracy at its finest, come down south, man. Like, we have here in New Orleans, the mayor of New Orleans, who I'm not going to lie, I don't particularly care for. She wouldn't have been my pick. She just got elected, I think it was last year, Mayor LaToya Cantrell. But she's done.
Blue Cantrell? Y'all mayor's Blue Cantrell?
Damn. I can't even remember none of her songs.
What was that song? Was that song?
Misty Blue?
I forget the name of that damn song she sang. She said she was in the Beamer just beaming.
Damn. All right, keep doing that then.
Yeah, you go on.
Go ahead, keep beaming. Man, Cantrell, she's doing the best she can down here in New Orleans. New Orleans, our economy is based 100% off of tourism, and the tourism economy is just totally fucked. But you know what? She's not bowing down. She's not bending over backwards to help these motherfuckers. She is telling you, this is what it's going to be. We're shutting down Super Sundays. That's where everyone gets in the street and do on Sundays and have like little second lines and gatherings and shit. So the Black people of the city, they coined her LaToya the Destroyer because she's just destroying everything in New Orleans, even though she's trying to keep y'all motherfuckers safe. So she canceled all kinds of shit, closed bars. Then the governor,
Bell Edwards or something like that?
Yeah, John Bell Edwards, another good dude. He is he's doing the best he can. But you keep having Jefferson Parish, where I live, which is a neighboring county of New Orleans.
Yeah, real quick, Jefferson Parish is a real rednecky parish to be so close to New Orleans.
Yeah, it is. That's when white flight happened, when all the white people left New Orleans, this is where they moved. And yeah, man. Yeah. But they're doing everything that New Orleans isn't doing. So we're moving into phases sooner than New Orleans. And that's putting pressure on the New Orleans mayor. Like, well, how come Jefferson Parish, they're in phase three and they're reopening bars, they're reopening restaurants, but you're not? Like, bitch, we in Jefferson Parish. That's why.
I said, well, take your ass to Jefferson Parish then.
Yeah. So it's like even people I work with, I don't understand. She's just on a power trip. She's just on a power trip to, because, you know, Jefferson Parish opens up restaurants. She waits a whole week and a half later to do it. Like, that's because she's looking at Jefferson Parish's statistics to see, all right, let's see if these dumb motherfuckers die.
It kills me that people can't seem to understand that in the middle of a fucking pandemic with people dying left and right, we probably shouldn't be doing the same shit that we've been trying to do all year. I mean, what is wrong with people? Seriously, this shit has been understood since the fucking 1600s, and we still seem to not understand it here.
Nah, people think they're too smart. And going back to our last episode, the internet, social media makes everyone a genius, makes everyone an expert in everything. And, you know, of course, do your own research, do your own research. No, I'm not doing my own research. I'm going to listen to the medical professionals. Like someone tried to say, Fauci, you know, he's just a left wing. He's paid for by George Soros to say these things. And, you know, all the Clintons, you know, they just murder everybody. And
people are stupid, man.
And yo, this motherfucker's almost 60 years old, man. It's like, damn, bruh. Damn.
I saw somebody say about John Legend's wife who just had a miscarriage. I saw somebody say serves her right because she's a sex trafficker. Yeah, it's like, Jesus, this is where we are? I had somebody tell me once that, you know, this person has, I don't even know if they have a fucking job, but tell me one time, they know my background, my training, my education, my experience, told me to do my research when it comes to how pathogens work. I'm like, wow, okay. I guess all my fucking thousands of hours of training and direct experience and certifications that I have to get from the state, county, and federal government, that shit don't mean nothing. I guess there's some research on YouTube that supersedes all of that.
Yeah, by some random dude that just shows a whole bunch of stock images and never shows his face. Like, come on, man.
Who belongs to a group that was paid for by Steve Bannon. Like them fucking crazy quack doctors everybody keep talking about.
Man, I was rolling. Somebody said, man, why didn't Trump just use them doctors?
Yeah, that was me. That was me.
That shit was funny, man. I was like, man, but yo, I guess I'll end with this too, going back to the social media real quick. All right, the presidential election, I watched it. It was like watching
debate?
A train. Yeah, damn. I watched the election.
This nigga a time traveler. Damn, tell me what happened. What's the lottery numbers?
Man, you wouldn't want to know either. Man, I was watching the debate and I knew what it was going to be. But it was like watching a train wreck in slow motion and you just can't look away. It's like this is going to be disastrous and I have to see it. So
Young,
we
real quick,
here
let me interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Speaking of a slow train wreck, Young, I found this fucking YouTube page about some bridge in Durham, North Carolina called the Can Opener. And it's called, I think it's called the 11-8 because the bridge is 11 foot 8 inches tall. Now it's 12 feet 4 inches. So this guy set a camera up outside of his office about a decade ago because assholes keep on trying to go under the bridge. And they got signs, they got sensors that turn the light red and says turn over height, and they go through it anyway and decapitate the top of the truck. Yeah, I'm gonna send you the link to that page. It's you can't stop watching it because it's just like watching the goddamn train wreck. I'm like, Young, what the hell is wrong with these people? It's like watching you can't stop watching it even though it's a train wreck.
Yeah. You remember all them trucks that used to get stuck on the Braddock Road Metro?
Before they had to raise it. Yep.
Yeah.
I remember all the time they used to get stuck under that bridge.
Man, she used to be funny, man. But yeah, it was, watching the debate was a train wreck I couldn't turn away from. I had to watch it, sat there. Becky and I watched it. And she's getting up and she's pacing back and forth. And she's, I don't believe. And I'm laughing. I'm like in tears laughing at this shit because it's like it's exactly what I expected and more. It was like watching a 4-year-old throw a temper tantrum, and it was just hilarious, man. So I'm like, why? Damn, excuse me. I was like, why are you mad? She was like, I just don't understand how he's like, yo, chill out, man. This shit is entertaining. If you were looking for a real presidential debate, you're in the wrong year.
You better watch another country's presidential debate.
Yeah. So it's like just watching that shit, man. It's like seeing how crazy, I forgot where the hell I was going with it, but seeing how crazy this shit. Oh, I remember seeing how crazy this shit was. So I'm watching the presidential debate, laughing, and I'm tweeting about it too as certain shit's happening. So I ended up tweeting a couple of things, but one of them was, if you're an undecided voter at this point, I call bullshit. You're just bullshit. Embarrassed to say, yeah, who you're voting for. So some random radicalized African Sudan Klan soldier, black power ass nigga, he kept on fucking like commenting on all my different tweets. And I don't even know this nigga. I don't even follow him or nothing.
He wanted attention. He probably just thought he knows scrolls he was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, well, which candidate is giving us reparations? So I ignored him. Like my man Hayes, CEO Hayes, he retweeted something I said. So he commented on Hayes's comment. I looked at it. I ignored it. So then he comes on my page. He comments on my page on another one. Well, which one of these presidential candidates are giving us black people reparations? Like, nigga, if you have to ask that question, you probably are one of the people that shouldn't be allowed to vote. But it's like you're trying to spark some kind of a debate. You want to go back and forth, and now's not the time for that shit. So then somebody else said something, and then he starts like retweeting my tweets and then talking to other people about me. Like, it's sad his words can be used against him because he's undecided because he doesn't know which nominee is going to give us our reparations. Nigga, none of them. So
first of all, why the fuck is he trying to apply his bullshit political requirement on you? Like that's what your determining factor is.
Yeah, my determining factor is who's going to give me reparations. Like, come on, man. So it's like, nigga, I understand your daddy probably didn't hug you as a child and you really need attention. But man, go play with the go. It's like
go I was ready to traffic. Say, just
nah. I was ready to say, man, go play with the weirdos your own age. Go play with. It's like get the fuck out of here.
Let me
man.
Tell you something about these motherfuckers. Right, these people kill me. So they think that if black people who vote are just we love our white masters, our white supremacy, we just can't help it. We coons, right? And I'm laughing because they act like, I've been saying this many times, they act like they don't still got to fucking live here too. So you can sit here and say all you want about, I'm not voting, I'm doing, I'm not, I'm separating, but you still live here. So let me tell you. So they sit there and
talk
all this.
That nigga probably live in a hut somewhere, well, though.
Yeah, but now he's probably one of them niggas that squat in somebody's house and claim sovereign ownership or some shit, right? But let me tell you something. So they say stuff like, look at y'all. Y'all think the white man gonna bail you out. You going to vote and thinking you gonna get a white savior to come save your life. And I laugh because I don't literally know anyone that thinks like that that votes. I don't say Joe Biden's gonna save us all. He's gonna save us black people. But the funny thing is these motherfuckers are a single issue base, right? Reparations.
Man, ain't
I want
even
my reparations.
Single issue.
But no. Watch,
even if they had that issue, even if one of the candidates did say, okay, I'm gonna give you reparations,
like
they just find something else.
Amy Klobuchar said that. But look, so they act like they care about reparations so much, and that's their only issue. But what's ironic about that is they say that we vote because we think some white man will save us, but they're literally saying that they will only vote for a white man who's going to save them with reparations. So how can you how can you have it both ways? Reparations are counting on white people giving you something. And what pisses me off the most about this is Bernie Sanders. I talked about Bernie Sanders with one of my friends who subscribes to a lot of these philosophies, right? Back in 2016 about why Bernie Sanders, what he says, people say he said he wouldn't do reparations. I said, well, what he's trying to do is more valuable than reparations. Because let's face it, reparations are only be the equivalent of what most people's tax return is. So I said, he's trying to make university education free and equal, trying to give us all health care and also make police reform and criminal justice reform. Those three things are huge issues that keep us down in this country. But yet, that's not good enough. But then when I see them talk about how black people was happy about the $1,200 stimulus money, they say dumb shit like, there you go, taking your hand out. You know, they give you money. What's that going to change? You teach a man to fish, you eat for a lifetime. But then at the same time, you ain't open to a candidate saying we're going to give you free education. It's just all these motherfuckers are antagonists. That's all. They're not serious. They cannot be engaged with any rational argument or logic. They are just antagonists. That's all.
And man, yeah, like, and going back to this old Kunta Kinte ass, Che Guevara Kunta Kinte African motherfucking child soldier ass
Dr.
nigga, man.
Umar Johnson ass motherfucker.
Yeah,
niggas
he
talk
probably
about they
does
love
get
they
his
women,
info
but they
from
really,
Dr. Umar.
Probably. Man, they act like they love women and their people so much. And that's all they do is shit on women and their people.
Yeah, man. So back to Kunta Kinte and his goddamn radicalized vision of America and reparations. Right. So he says all that and then he just keeps on. And one thing I don't do is I don't go back and forth with people online. I don't do it, which is why I didn't respond to anything he said until he started talking to other people about me. And it's like, you know what, nigga? Look, it's obvious you want my attention. So let me give you some of it. Just say hello next time. If you want to talk to me, just say hello. Don't keep fucking retweeting me, quoting my tweets, asking other people, oh, well, his words can be used against him. My words are supposed to be used against me because I'm saying them, you dumb nigga. I'm saying them. Fuck so yeah. Use them against me. Like, you stupid motherfucker. Reparations, man. Suck my dick. That's niggas your reparations.
Like, niggas act like Damon Wayans in jail from In Living Color. They talk about, oh, if you against reparations, then you against your own people. And I laugh. I say, you know, let's talk about what that really means, though. Me saying I'm not worried about reparations because that's not going to fucking happen does not mean I'm against it. It just means I live in this country and I'm a realist and I know that we ain't getting them. If we do, great. But I'm not going to sit and say I'm not voting in no election until you give us that, because here's the problem. You don't vote in no primaries, no local elections, no state elections, no federal elections, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You damn sure ain't going to get no motherfucking body that's going to do anything to help us out if that's how you're going to act. You know, you let everybody else steer the ship, and then you get mad when you end up somewhere you don't want to be.
Let's be perfectly honest and perfectly clear here. Black people in black people in America, or as we like to say, what, American descendants of slaves, we will never get reparations, ever. So just take it off the table. Sure, like P said, it will be nice, but it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. I would love to be proven wrong, but it's not going to happen. So let's move on and think of other ways that our community can benefit from our elected leaders, because reparations just aren't happening. I mean, it is what it is, man. It's just not happening. I don't ever see it happening. How about you?
It ain't going to happen. I mean, if it does, great. But look, I will say this, though. The argument that's saying we can't afford it has been proven as horseshit, because all the trillions of dollars they gave out to the fucking CEOs and big banks, right? But ultimately, we ain't getting it. And that don't mean that, oh, I'm a sellout because I don't want it. Whoever the fuck is it? Look, we do need it. We deserve it. We should get it. But we ain't getting it. And so, if I'm going to take an inactive role in this country and how it's run, I can't sit here and be pissed off. So it's like people say, well, the racist that you don't know is worse than the racist that you do know. Talking about Joe Biden, right? So I laugh. I told this guy, I said, so let me tell you, if you got Joe Biden sitting in this room and Hitler sitting on the other side, you gonna focus your attention on Joe Biden because Hitler's an open racist? That's fucking stupid. It's just people think they so smart. You know, let me tell you something. Let me finish up with this. You can tell people get their education from memes, because memes always sound good until you apply critical thinking to it and you realize that it is deeply flawed and overly simplistic.
Or fact check them. Yeah.
I wouldn't even say fact check. Sometimes you just think about, like, that don't make no fucking sense. That don't make sense. It's stupid.
Man, Abraham Lincoln, he freed the slaves. He was a Republican. Donald Trump was a Democrat in the 90s, but then he flipped to become a Republican because the Senate leader, Mitch McConnell, looks like Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles if he was 100 years old. So if you think about it, Joe Rogan's podcast has all the messages that we need because his podcast art has a third eye open. So with all that, y'all still want to vote for Biden? Come on,
son. And don't forget George Soros. George Soros wants that third eye closed. You ever heard of the group Third Eye Blind? That's why.
Man, people are just some fucking idiots. So this has been another episode of Angry Black Men. Well, fucking Few Screws Loose. Keep up with us on social media at A Few Screws Loose on Twitter. No, wait.
Screws Loose.
Keep up with us at Screws Loose Pod on Twitter, IG, and YouTube. You can keep up with me on Twitter and IG at I Am Dan on Drugs.
And you can keep up with me on Instagram and on Twitter at P from Charlotte. I will say, though, that I'm not very active. I probably should become more active again. Sometimes I post stuff on Twitter and I get, you know, no likes, no retweets, no comments, no nothing, probably because I don't talk to nobody. But I'm on there.
Yeah.
P from Charlotte.